I am Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is March 14th, 2010. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today's topic, Court upholds under God in the Pledge of Allegiance. It also says, In God We Trust is fine on money. A federal appeals court in San Francisco today upheld the use of the words under God in the Pledge of Allegiance and in God We Trust on U.S. currency. The Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals panel rejected two legal challenges by Sacramento atheist Michael Newdow, who claimed the references to God disrespect his religious beliefs. My comment. Not only do the pledge and the currency disrespect Newdow's beliefs, they disrespect the religious beliefs of all non-Christians. That is because it is very clear that the God that is referred to in the pledge and on our currency is specifically the Christian God. The article continues, The pledge is constitutional, Judge Carlos Bea wrote for the majority in the 2-1 ruling. Okay, Carlos, why is it constitutional? He said, The Pledge of Allegiance serves to unite our vast nation. Carlos, the pledge did serve to unite our vast nation until 1954, when the phrase under God was added to it. Now it divides our nation into Christians and non-Christians. He continues, Through the proud recitation of some of the ideals upon which our republic was founded. Carlos, that is quite simply a lie. Our founding fathers were very clear that our republic was not founded on Christian ideals. You have made yourself part of a modern conspiracy by Christians to pervert the intent of the founding fathers. Every single First Amendment case that has gone before the U.S. Supreme Court has proven you wrong. The article goes on. In a separate 3-0 ruling, the court upheld the In God We Trust motto on coins and dollars. My final comment. Trying to force your beliefs upon the unwilling must fail, as evidenced by the waning influence of Christianity worldwide. America is the last bastion of Christian ghost worshippers. We no longer fear your ghost, and now we no longer fear you. And now we move to the science segment. Today's story, new insight into the brain's decision-making process. The hippocampus, a part of the brain essential for memory, has long been known to replay recently experienced events. Previously, replay was believed to be a simple process of reviewing recent experiences in order to help consolidate them into long-term memory. However, researchers have discovered that the replay function of the hippocampus is actually a much more complex cognitive process. This discovery, made by the University of Minnesota Medical School researcher David Reddish, along with his colleagues Anupam Gupta and David Turetsky from the Center for the Neural Basis of Cognition at Carnegie Mellon University, and Mathis Vandermeer, also at the University of Minnesota, gives insight into the decision-making process. Reddish hopes that this insight will help researchers learn more about what is happening in the brain when this decision-making process goes wrong. By studying brain activity in rats, Reddish, Gupta, and colleagues discovered that the information played out during this replay process depends on the task the animal is facing. They found that it was not the more recent experiences that were played back in the hippocampus, but instead, the animals were most frequently playing back the experiences they had encountered the least. They also discovered that some of the sequences played out by the animals were the ones they had never before experienced. These observations suggest that this hippocampal process plays an important role in an animal's active learning process and may also play a role in maintaining the animal's internal representation of the world, or its cognitive map. The point of the cognitive map is flexibility. It gives animals the ability to plan novel paths within their environment. This replay process may be an animal's way of learning how the world is interconnected, so it can plan new routes or paths. Reddish and his team have been studying decision-making in rats by putting electrode hats on the animals and recording their brain activity. The hats detect when individual neurons in the brain fire. Certain neurons, called place cells, fire in response to the animal's current physical location and create the animal's internal cognitive map of their environment. Through their study of the animal's brain activity, Reddish and his team can identify where the rat is located simply by observing which place cells are firing. This mapping process was key to the team's understanding of the animal's replay process. During replay, neurons fire, indicating other locations on the maze rather than the location the rat is actually in, indicating that the animal is processing information about other locations. On a task with two behavioral sequences, A and B, the researchers found that the animals would replay sequence B more often, even when they spent most of their time running sequence A. In other words, the researchers found that the rats were most likely to replay the path they had experienced less often. This suggests that replay is not just a function of helping an animal remember what it has experienced most frequently or most recently, but an important function in helping it map its whole environment. During the replay process, Reddish, Gupta, and colleagues also were able to observe the animal making connections between paths that it had never physically traveled before. For example, if the animal had physically traveled from point A to point B, and from point B to point C, but never from point A to point C, they observed the single sequence A to B to C during the replay process, implying that the rat's brain was able to make the connection between points A and C on its internal map. This further indicates that replay plays a role in helping an animal learn and maintain the entire map of its environment and make connections within it. The rats were not just reviewing recent experience to move it to long-term memory. This is important because brain cognition and the human decision-making process are poorly understood. Reddish said, "Before we can understand how this process goes wrong in people with diseases such as addiction or Alzheimer's, we first need to understand how cognitive connections are made in the brain and how humans make decisions in relation to their internal cognitive map. Once we have an understanding of how things work in normal brain processing, we can understand where they can break, and then we can understand what we can do to try to fix them. The discovery of this mechanism in rats gives important insight into their decision-making process, and through more research, Reddish hopes to further understand how this mechanism works." The study was published in the March 11 issue of Neuron. The study was funded by the National Institutes of Health, the National Science Foundation, and the Pennsylvania Department of Health. And now the arena goes abroad. Today we travel to Turkey to learn about another honor killing. Medin Mimi was 16 years old when a family council condemned her to death in November 2009. They dug a 2-meter-deep hole under the chicken coop at their house and forced Medin, her hands tied on her back, to sit in it. Then they buried her alive, throwing one spadeful of earth after the other down on her, till she was completely covered and the hole filled. Medin was not drugged. She died in full consciousness. She tried to scream and struggled for air. Soil filled her mouth, entered her windpipe, her gullet, her lungs, and her stomach. She died a slow and gruesome death. My comment: here is proof of the superior morals provided by religion. Even the lowest animals don't sink to this level of subhuman activity. What a swell bunch of guys. Oh well, she probably deserved it. Let's find out what she did. The article continues. There is nothing left in memory of Medin's short life, not even a photograph of her existence. It is as if she never lived. One of 10 children, she was born in Kahatta in the province Adıyaman in southeast Turkey and never left this place. She was not allowed to go to school. Her father and grandfather used to brutally beat her up when they suspected her of talking to village boys of her age. During her last weeks, Medine feared for her life. She sought help in the police station. She tried to lodge a complaint against father and grandfather. She begged for protection and asylum, but she was forced to go back to her tormentors. This repeated 3 times. After that, she was not seen again. In December, a neighbor got suspicious. The authorities opened the newly cemented place under the chicken coop and found Medine's body. They arrested her father and grandfather, but did not charge them so far. My comment. Well, of course not. You can't arrest Muslim men for following the rules of their invisible ghost, especially when the victim is only a girl. Continuing, the gruesome murder of Medine is no single case. Honor killings have reached record levels in Turkey. Official government figures confirm more than 200 cases a year, half of all murders committed in the country. The estimates of human rights groups are far higher. Investigations are generally difficult. Many of these murders remain family secrets. In the Kurdish-dominated southeast of Turkey, the region of Medine's home province, Adıyaman, the concentration of honor killings is the highest. Decades back, Adıyaman has been a stronghold of the Islamic fundamentalist Naqshbendi sect that was banned in 1925 by the founder of modern Turkey, Atatürk, but seems to gain new ground in recent years. My comment. And it will continue to gain ground until rational humans find the courage to stand up and defend those who cannot defend themselves from these subhuman pieces of crap. The article goes on, in 2005, with the reform of the Turkish Penal Code, life sentences for honor killers have become mandatory. My comment. If there ever was a justification for capital punishment, this is it. The article goes on, earlier they often escaped with reduced sentences, if any, claiming they have been provoked. My comment, oh well, why didn't you say so? Now that I know they were provoked, I will certainly change my position. They continue, even now many honor killers benefit from improper investigations and leniency of the authorities, as many police officers, prosecutors, and even judges share their views. My comment, as this poor girl found out, there was no one to turn to. She was born into a world full of superstitious, evil ghost worshippers. Anywhere she went had to be better than where she was. They go on, even in prison, they still used to enjoy high respect and privileges. My comment, I think I'm gonna puke. They continue, as a strategy, many family councils order the youngest male member to commit the murder, taking advantage of juvenile law. My comment, that is a wonderful way to instill morals into their youth. Here, take this rock and throw it at your sister's head. They go on, the government's recent efforts to take harder legal action have resulted in a new twist. While the number of honor killings seems to go down, a wave of honor suicides can be observed. To escape legal prosecution, families force their victims to kill themselves. My comment, what a great bunch of moral religious people. I can't wait to get my visa so I can move there and live with people who really know how to honor God. These people don't even qualify as human. The article continues. Honor killings are committed in many countries around the world. According to UN estimates, there are more than 5,000 cases every year. But that may be only the tip of the iceberg. While the majority of them seem to have a fundamentalist Islamic background, similar barbaric traditions are active among Hindus, Sikhs, and Christians. For example, in Sicily. My final comment. But not among those morally challenged evil atheists. Gee, what a surprise. These disgusting excuses for human beings should be exposed for what they really are. Rotting, putrid pus bags who have turned our world into a living hell. They continue to dominate the world through terror, and will continue to do so until those of us who can reason begin to fight back. And for the final segment of the show, famous quotes. Today, Perry DeAngelis, born 1963, died 2007 at the age of 43. Perry was one of the original founders of The Skeptic's Guide to the Universe. He was known for his powerful rational mind and love for monkeys. After staving off chronic illness for several years, Perry finally succumbed to scleroderma. And now for the quote from Perry DeAngelis. His first quote, "Thinking critically is a chore. It does not come naturally or easily. And if the fruits of such efforts are not carefully displayed to young minds, then they will not harvest them. Every school child must be implanted with the wonder of the atom, not the thrall of magic." And the second quote from Perry DeAngelis. "The amount of years that she will live longer than us because of her diet is directly proportional to the horror of her life."
Are you ready, Bruce?